What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. I have had a crazy start to 2024. So January 1st, I trained, taught class, and then that night, I developed the stomach flu. Symptoms hit, threw up. Next day, tried to make it through, couldn't make it. Ends up being a week plus long illness. End up losing 10 pounds, felt terrible. Yeah, it was awful. Well, I come back. I do a couple of hard workouts, have a couple of good training days. This last Friday, go to the gym, run 3 miles on the treadmill. And after I got off the treadmill, I did not feel good. Felt just lightheaded, felt weak, felt off. But I was thinking maybe it's because I pushed it a little too hard coming back. I had been really sick for a week. I'd lost 10 pounds. Maybe I pushed it too hard on Wednesday and Thursday, and I just wasn't ready to do 3 days in a row. But alas, I kept pushing because I didn't think anything was really wrong. I was like, look, just let me give me a couple minutes. I had some water, ended up doing another 30 minutes with weights, went and got some food afterwards, felt much better after getting some food. Decided to roll that afternoon. I rolled for an hour, and I have no clue how I got through that roll. After about 20 minutes, the first 15, 20 minutes, I felt pretty good, but each minute after that, it was like more and more of my energy was being sucked out of my body, and I felt like a corpse those last 20 minutes. The only thing that got me through was just the grit and just the desire to train, because I had missed a week. And again, I was just thinking, man, I guess I've overdone it. I'm going to take the rest of the day off. I'm probably going to take tomorrow off. I had a private lesson the next day. So I was like, look, I'll teach my private lesson. I'll watch rolling, maybe do a little instructing and coaching on the sideline, take it easy this weekend. And hopefully Monday, I'll be ready to get back into my full routine. Well, feel a little bit worse an hour after rolling. And so I was like, look, I'm just going to leave, go get a thermometer check. Lo and behold, I have a fever. It was just right at 100. And I think what threw me off was that I had been so sick with the stomach flu that this one, I was like, I don't feel anywhere near as bad as I did last week. So it's got to be just some type of like exhaustion or something like that. The next day, still have a fever. So I'm like, okay, I'm sick. I've got a fever, achy, don't feel very good, but still not anywhere near as bad as last week. At least I wasn't throwing up and having diarrhea. I could eat and put water in my body, and I felt good. Well, on the third day, I went, got a COVID test, and I tested positive for COVID. So stomach flu, first week. Second week into 2024, I get COVID, sick for 5 days. I have finally recovered. But man, this has been a tough year so far. What's crazy is I swear, I remember a couple of weeks prior to developing the stomach flu, I was telling somebody that I hadn't been sick in a couple of years. And I couldn't remember the last time that I'd thrown up or had diarrhea or anything like that. So to start 2024 off with checking both of those boxes off, and then not even a week later getting COVID, is just wild. It's almost like the universe and God was listening to me kind of boast about how strong my immune system was and how I was so much stronger than others. And I have been humbled, and I apologize for my hubris. But I am feeling better, and there's a lot I want to talk about. There's two main things I want to talk about today. I want to talk about Gordon Ryan retiring. I've got air quotes around retiring because I definitely think we'll see him again, probably see him at ADCC 2024. And I also got to talk about a very important topic. When you should talk to your instructor about a training partner. Now, Gordon Ryan has retired again, and I actually found out about this 4 or 5 days before he announced it, because he went on Brandon's and TJ DeSantis podcast, a podcast that they do for the UFC, and that's where he announced it. So he announced it on his Instagram as well as their podcast. They released it at the same time. But yeah, I'd been sitting on this information, and obviously I couldn't get on my podcast and do it before he released it. And then when he released it, I was in the middle of having COVID and just did not feel like doing a podcast. And then I was super congested, kind of lost my voice for a day or two. So I'm just now getting around to talking about this topic. Now, here's the thing. Gordon's done this before. Gordon did this before last ADCC. He ended up competing. You got to feel for the guy. Now, I don't know how serious this stomach thing is. I feel like Gordon is a little bit of an exaggerator. He's just one of those guys that's going to tell you like, hey, I caught a fish. And if he caught a 1 foot fish, it's going to end up being 2 foot. It's going to be the biggest fish he's ever caught. He just is very, very kind of narcissistic. He's a super confident guy. He's going to tell you that he trains every single day, that he never misses a training session. I remember when he was saying he hadn't taken a vacation in like 6 years. He says a lot of things that I don't think are actually true. And so prior to the last time of him competing, I remember him saying that he hadn't felt good and he hadn't had a day where he hadn't been nauseous in like 3 years. And so he finally realized, like, look, I can't train. He was saying that his training camps are essentially non-existent, that he felt like he was doing a disservice to himself, that he wasn't preparing right for matches. And so he was going to have to step away. And he said, maybe this is forever because maybe there isn't a cure and maybe I will not get better and I'll just have to live my life with this stomach ailment. Well, after a couple of months being out from the sport, found updates, you know, or Gordon gave us updates and he kept saying, you know, I feel 50% better. And then it was 75% better. And then he was like, look, I'm finally eating again. I'm finally able to eat more than, 1,000 calories. I'm finally back to eating. I've put on more weight than I have in years. I'm coming back. I'm going to be 100% bigger, 100% better, 100% stronger. Everyone needs to watch out. And what did Gordon do? Well, Gordon comes back. He has a couple of matches. He ends up going to ADCC. He double golds in the most impressive ADCC performance of all time. I mean, he really made his contemporaries look like blue belts. He made them all look like they were practicing something different than him. And it was a truly special performance. But that had a wear, you know, that performance and I think the training camp and the competition that he had done prior to that, I think wore him down. And his body doesn't have much longer, I don't think. And I'm really proud of myself. I got to give myself kind of a pat on the back because after he pulled out of the Mason Fowler match, I did a podcast where I kind of talked about how I didn't know how much longer Gordon had. How many more times we'd see him? Would we see Gordon compete in 2, 3, 4, 5 years? I thought the answer was no. And so for him to announce this a couple of weeks after that, I'm kind of like, yeah, the writing's been on the wall. With him not competing this year, with him getting injured with that rib injury at the Mason Fowler match, it's just, as an athlete, health is the most important thing. Now, as a human being, obviously health's the most important thing. You know, anybody can attest that that's dealt with chronic illness, especially something like cancer or something like that. Like, our health is not to be taken for granted. A healthy man is a truly blessed man. And the moment an athlete, you know, starts to get injury after injury after injury, you can kind of see that their stay at the top of the sport, or there's just days of competitive competition are numbered, you know? And so we just take a guy like LeBron James, and LeBron is so special because he's in his 21st season in the NBA, which is just insane. The rigors of the NBA are really unlike any other sport because the season lasts so long. These guys are playing 82 games plus a postseason, plus some of these guys have international duties, which all apply to LeBron. I mean, LeBron has been in, what, 7 or 8 NBA finals. So he's not only played 82-game seasons, but again, he's added an extra 30, 40 games just with the postseasons. And if you just look at the minutes he's played and all that stuff, it's truly remarkable that he's never had a serious injury. LeBron's never had an ACL tear, an Achilles injury, which are the two big ones for NBA players. If you think about guys like Kobe Bryant, rest in peace. I mean, Kobe's career was kind of over after the Achilles. He tore his Achilles, and he just was never the same. And it was really tough for him to prepare to play for games after that. Derrick Rose, just look at Derrick Rose's knees. Derrick Rose was MVP of the league. Was a guy that a lot of people thought was going to win a championship with the Chicago Bulls. Definitely was going to win more than one MVP, but he ends up tearing his ACL. He's out for a year and a half, and he just hasn't been the same. And so for LeBron to do what he's doing, and if you watch, I actually just watched LeBron play Luka tonight. So it was Lakers versus Mavericks, and LeBron is just incredible because he does not look like he's played 21 years in the league. I mean, he still looks young. He still looks fresh. He still moves like a 28-year-old. Now, I don't know the wear and tear on his body. I don't know how he feels after games now compared to 10 years ago, but I've got to say it looks like the dude's got at least 5 more years in him. It's just insane. But with Gordon Ryan, you know, we're seeing more and more. He's had a couple of surgeries. But the big one is that stomach. Whatever's going on with his stomach isn't allowing him to train and compete like a professional athlete. And that's a shame because that's the one thing about Gordon. Gordon has always checked all the boxes. He's always trained very hard. He's always prepared like a professional. He's trained like a professional. He's eaten like a professional. He lifts like a professional. He studies like a professional. He is a professional grappler, especially in an age where there's still a lot of these guys that don't take it as serious, and they don't study and they don't train like they should. I think there's a lot of guys that just get by off being athletic. Where Gordon, again, has done all that. Plus, he's taken the steroids. He's done what he's needed to do to become the greatest of all time. So for him to just not be able to because of his body's been unwilling, it's really sad to see. And it's going to be really tough for him because obviously to me now, it seems like Gordon, without knowing really anything, you know, I'm not a doctor or anything, but it seems like Gordon's at the stage where he needs to take a couple of years off to really get back to having a healthy gut biome. I'm going to take a couple months off, like last time. Takes a couple months off, and I mean, after a couple months, I remember him giving, you know, kind of weekly updates, and it seemed like he started to improve pretty rapidly. I remember him being like, hey, I'm 50% better. Now I'm 70% better. Now, man, I'm actually able to eat. I'm able to eat a lot of calories. I'm able to put on weight. I'm able to lift really heavy again, and I'm able to put on size. I'm coming back. But he came back too soon, and he's had a relapse. The stress that he's put on his body with the training, with the steroids, with all of that. And I just can't be convinced. And again, I'm not a doctor, but I can't be convinced that all of the things that Gordon puts into his body, all the PEDs, are a good thing for his gut. There's just no way. And I've seen him argue with people that his doctors have told him that it's good and that he needs to continue doing steroids and testosterone. He's taking all these peptides and stuff. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I just have a hard time believing that. And so anyways, we see Gordon at this last ADCC. He ends up dominating. He looks incredible. But at the same time, at what cost? You know, the guy's the biggest and the most jacked he's ever been. He obviously trained his ass off for it. But a couple months afterwards, you know, I'm sure each month after ADCC, he just probably started to feel worse and worse and worse. And now he's kind of back to square one. He's back to, hey, guys, you're not going to see me for a while. This is an indefinite retirement. I want to come back. And it sounds like the plan is much like last time. I'm just letting you guys know I'm not taking this Mason Fowler match. I think the retirement's more of a like a, hey, I'm not fighting Mason Fowler. I'm not facing Nick Yearod. I don't care about Craig. I don't care about any of these dudes. I'm not doing any super fights. I'm sitting out until ADCC. So I'm retired, air quotes, until ADCC. That's the plan. And, yeah, I mean, it sounds like the guy's going to make a run at ADCC. I imagine if he does this ADCC, whatever the results may be, this will probably be the last one we see him at. Because like I said, you know, his stomach seems like it's going to take years to heal, not just another 6 month band-aid, you know, of like, hey, I'm going to take it easy for 6 months and then I'm going to get back to the rigors of competition grappling. I don't think he can do that. You know, this is a obviously very, very serious disorder that he has going on. So with Gordon retiring, imagine he never does another match, which, like I said, I think he does this next ADCC. That's probably the next time we'll see him. But again, let's imagine he doesn't take another match. What Gordon's done is still going to be incredibly hard for another grappler to top. Just with his ADCC accomplishments, having won the ADCC gold medal in three different categories. So he won 88, 99, and 99 plus, plus the absolute, plus the super fight, plus doing the super fight and winning the over 99 in the same day, which is essentially to me winning the absolute because he beat all the heaviest guys there. Like he was in the bracket with all the heaviest guys. It's something I don't think we'll see done in a very, very long time, maybe ever again. I mean, what he's done is kind of like Wilt Chamberlain, you know. If you know anything about basketball, you know Wilt Chamberlain had these insane statistics, scored 100 points, which still stands. If you watch his old highlights, it's funny, I was actually watching some old Wilt highlights a couple of days ago, and he just looked way ahead of his time. Now, the basketball back then doesn't even remotely compare skill-wise to what's going on today, but at the same time, Wilt, with the training and with the just the modern game, like he could definitely have a phenomenal career in today's NBA. And I think that's Gordon. You know, his grappling is going to be timeless. 50 years from now, I think we'll still look back at some of the things Gordon does and just shake our heads and go, how in the hell did somebody accomplish that? But it's sad, you know. Like I said, I hate seeing athletes' bodies break down on them. As an athlete that kind of had that happen to them in a sport, I just know how hard it was on me. And it's one of those things you never would wish on your worst enemy. But let's move on now and talk about when you should talk to instructors about your training partners. And what I mean by this is just a bad training partner. Now, I've got quite a few examples, but there's one that really sticks out to me. Because there was somebody that trained at our gym, and they haven't trained at our gym now in years. I mean, they left before COVID. They actually ended up relocating, and they live now in a completely different state. And anyways, this person got to blue belt at our gym, maybe purple belt, I can't remember, but essentially colored belt at our gym, right? They had had a grappling background prior to coming to our gym, so they came in with some experience. And anyways, person trained at our gym for a couple of years, end up leaving. And once they left, a handful of students came up over the next couple of months and just told me insane stories about this person. Now, this person was always super respectful and super nice to me and super respectful and super nice to Brandon. Like, I always thought he was a pretty cool dude. He was a nice guy. But I didn't realize he had a really nasty bullying streak out on the mats because nobody said anything. And now this guy, he never hurt anybody, but he just did some really weird things. One guy, one of our students said that he would like lick his ear and he would like gave him a couple wet willies. And one time had like put his mouth, like his ear in, a guy had just put his mouth in his ear and licked his ear. And I'm like, how in the hell did you not say anything? You know, that's what I'm thinking. And I'm kind of asking like, hey, like, you know, you could have come to us with this. Like, that's insane. That never should have happened. And that shouldn't have happened more than once. Then somebody else came to us and talked about that guy would like take his back and then talk about his girlfriend and how he could like bang his girlfriend if he wanted to. And then another student talked about how this guy liked to throw him super hard and like to just like land on him and like, and he would like say like, man, I love making you make weird noises. Just essentially stuff like that. So we had three different students come to me and tell me this. And I don't know how many others had similar stories. But I had literally zero clue this was happening, obviously. Because if I did, I would have thrown that guy out after I'd beaten his ass. I mean, I was furious. But I haven't seen the guy since. He hasn't been back. Probably will never see this person again. Again, it's probably been 5+ years since I've seen them. But yeah, just insane stories. And I feel kind of bad for the guys that they didn't feel like they could come and talk to us, you know. They could come and talk to Brandon or myself and just say, hey, this is what's going on, or hey, I'm feel uncomfortable rolling with this person. But they should have. And I think you should feel comfortable talking to your instructor about anything that's happening out on the mats that you're uncomfortable with. But this sport is seen many times as kind of this like macho, you know, you're practicing a combat sport. There's a toughness that is required, right? And each of you that have trained, and especially that have continuously trained for months on end, you know, especially years on end, you were tough. You've taken your ass whoopings. You've been out there when you've been uncomfortable. You've had people that have outweighed you by a ton, try to crush you. You've had people spaz out on you. You've had people hit you. You've probably had black eyes. You've probably had sprained ligaments and joints from joint locks. Like, you've went through some stuff. So I think there's at times people feel uncomfortable talking about that because, like, look, it's just part of the, it's part of the sport. Something I need to deal with. I need to be able, like, I think people end up seeing it also kind of like a challenge. Like, I need to get better than this person so I can beat them so they can't bully me anymore. I need to train harder. If I was better, this wouldn't be happening to me. You know, people might be going, hey, if I was Scaff, this wouldn't happen. Like, if I was a black belt like Scaff, this wouldn't be happening to me. If I was a brown belt like Jeff, this just wouldn't be happening to me. So I think the answer is to get better so then they can defeat their own bullies, right? And obviously, there's some value in that thinking, but at the same time, bullies have no place out on the mat. People that are going to hurt you, try to intimidate you, that are going to make you feel uncomfortable and enjoy making you feel uncomfortable, they don't have a place out there. This sport requires trust. It requires you to trust your teammates. It requires you to trust your training partners. It requires you to trust your opponents, even people that you might consider enemies. It requires you to trust them. Because if the trust's not there, then you cannot train with somebody. And, you know, if they just are wild and you don't know, like, if they're going to break your arm or put you in a choke and not respect the tap, like, the trust has to always be there. So once that trust starts getting broken, like, I want to know, your instructor wants to know. He should want to know. He should want to handle the problem. There are some things, like, people deserve to get punished. They deserve to get kicked out. Training at a good jiu-jitsu gym, well, yes, it costs money. So I don't want to say it's, like, truly, like, a blessing. It's truly, like, you know, you are paying money, but at the same time, it is a privilege. A place with a good atmosphere and just good training partner, like, it's a privilege to be a part of that. And if you're breaking the rules and if you're doing this, like, weird stuff, you're hurting training partners, if you're saying things like weird things to training partners, if you're trying to make people, or somebody's making you feel uncomfortable, like, you should tell your instructor. They want to know about that. And that's just one of those things I really wish, like, people, like, I want to know about that. I want to be there for you if you experience or experiencing just uncomfortable, like, moments on the mat that are being caused by somebody else. Now, not just, hey, so-and-so's bigger than me, you know, and they get on side control and they put me in crossface. Like, that's one of those things I might be like, hey, you know, if you don't like rolling with somebody that much bigger than you, you can always decline the role. But at the same time, you know, that's just part of grappling. And if you're going to roll with that person, like, you're going to get in uncomfortable spots. It's tough. But as you get better skill-wise, you're going to be able to deal with that more. Or you're going to be able to deal with that better. But that's a lot different than going, hey, so-and-so's putting me in side control and they're sticking their finger in my ear. Or I feel like they're, you know, just touching me in inappropriate places, or they're trying to tickle me, or they're just whispering weird things in my ear, or they take my back and they're, whatever it may be. Hey, when I tap, they don't like let go of the tap. They continue to hold it on, or they try to tell me when I should or shouldn't tap, and I feel like they're trying to hurt me, or this person hurt me, and then 3 weeks later they hurt so-and-so, but they weren't bad injuries, so we didn't tell anybody. It's like, no, like, look, so-and-so popped your arm in an arm bar. You didn't say anything. He didn't say anything. She didn't say anything. Whoever it was that popped your arm, instructor doesn't know about it. Okay, you take a couple days off, you ice it up, you're starting to feel better, you get back on the mat. But then you find out a couple days later that he did it again or she did it again to another person, also popped him. Nobody says anything to the instructor. Like, nothing's going to be done about it. People are going to start to quit. Atmosphere is going to start to get ruined. Like, it's always pretty obvious, though, you know. You can kind of really read a room. For the most part, I feel like an instructor that has any type of people skills, and, you know, they're going to be able to kind of see if there's some beef going on between people. But at the same time, you don't know if that beef is just maybe like, hey, these guys are kind of gym rivals, or they kind of go at it really hard when they roll. And so there's just like a little weird vibe. Maybe this person's a little jealous that this other person got promoted before them, or, you know, you just never know. And so sometimes I'll feel like, I don't feel like these people really like each other, but I don't know, again, if it's just like a, again, like a gym rivalry, or there may be a little jealousy going on here or there. Like, you know, but like I said, you know, with that first example I gave you guys, like, I had no clue that was going on. And I would have said, like, hey, man, like, a lot of people miss this guy. Like, he just left, but he was a pretty good training partner, was a good grappler. Like, I think a lot of people enjoy training with him. Turns out I was completely wrong. And there were at least three students that were insanely happy that they had left. So I say all this to say, please communicate with your instructor. If you feel like somebody's crossing the line, don't give them a second, a third, fourth, fifth, sixth chance. Look, most people, if they take advantage of your kindness once, or take advantage of your weakness once, and what I mean by weakness is just, hey, they're better than you. When they roll with you, they can kind of do what they want to do. So, yes, they're taking advantage of you being less technical and less good at them at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So they're taking advantage of you, and they're able to take your back at will. They're able to pass your guard. They're able to put you in bad situations. And if they're taking advantage of that, if they do it once, they're going to do it again. And maybe it's not the next time you roll. Maybe not even the next. But eventually, that monster is going to come out again. And if they licked your ear one time, or they told you they were going to bang your girlfriend, you know, another time, like, give them time. They're going to do it again. And there's a good chance that they take it to the next level the next time. And they'll slowly build up until then you're in a very, very uncomfortable situation. And there's a good chance that something's happening that is way across the line. So just nip things in the bud. Communicate, you know. And I've never had a problem with this. I've always, I've just always kind of had a pride thing where if somebody kind of tried to bully me, like, I would have a complete meltdown. And so there was one time, I remember the last time this happened to me. It was actually in a jiu-jitsu gym. There was a, this is, I mean, I was probably a blue belt when this happened. Maybe a brand new purple belt, but this is like 8-9 years ago. And I was always, especially back then, I was very serious about training. And so I would go in, like I would do my thing, I'd go drill. And I always feel like I was a pretty good training partner. You know, again, I would drill, I would get try and, you know, communicate with my training partners, like, hey, like, do you want me to drill this certain way? Or this is how I want you to drill. I'd get feedback, roll, boom, got done. Hang around a little bit after class and talk, get out of there, right? Well, there was a guy and he just was trying to pick. He was kind of a picker and he tried to pick at me a little bit. And he tried to like come up, like one time he came up and like rubbed my shoulders. And I was like, hey, man, I don't like that. Like, I do not like that. Well, the next time in class, he did it again. And I just had a meltdown. And I was like, hey, man, if you do that again, we're going to fight. Like, I will fight you. I have no issue with fighting you right here. And so if you want to continue to try and, like, rub my shoulders and try to make me feel uncomfortable, you're just going to have to fight me. And then, of course, the guy got real like, whoa, whoa, man, like, I'm just playing. I'm just joking around. Like, whoa, like, take it easy, you know. But they never did that again. And I think it's always better to stand up for yourself. And if, again, if you're not going to do that or you're just too nervous, go talk to your instructor. Till next time, guys. I love and appreciate you. Hopefully, the next time you hear me do a podcast, I will not have gotten sick since this one is released. So hopefully I can go a full week without catching something else. Yeah, until next time, guys. Peace.